streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. Playing with a hurt voice this morning, so bear with us. But we are joined by the one and only Dwayne Long out of Columbus, Ohio. Dark gray Midwest, Dwayne, how goes it?
Dark gray Midwest, Dan, that's how it goes. It's just, I don't remember these three-day rains like we're having these days. People say there's no global warming. I don't believe it. This is just crazy. But we haven't had a cold winter, and spring's just around the corner.
The sun actually peeked through the Midwest on the weekend. We appreciate that. Alan True, Midwest recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports, does a fantastic job. Spent a ton of years on the East Lansing beat. There's a running back in the state of Michigan named Donovan Edwards. Alan True has flipped his crystal ball from the University of Michigan to the Ohio State University. We've talked a ton about running backs. Last week, I did a show with Steve Wolfong about Travion Henderson and Donovan Edwards, two of the best backs I've seen. I will admit, I think Henderson is the best back I've seen on tape here in recent memory. What's interesting is Edwards would be in the running for number two, in my opinion. There is a very good chance now that he's going to join the Buckeyes via verbal commitment. Your thought on the addition of Donovan Edwards, if he does hop on, what that would mean to the rest of the class? I compared Donovan Edwards to Darren McFadden. He's used along a lot of the same ways, but it does probably mean you won't get Travion Henderson. Your thoughts on the developments among these elite backs?
Well, that's the thing. It's probably going to cost us Henderson, and I'm with you. Henderson is just to me. I like Kamara Wheaton too, but Henderson is just. I was just amazed at his film. But here's the dilemma you're stuck with, Dan. How do you say, let's wait a minute, to a back as good as Edwards? I mean, I just watched his film before. We got on the call, and his latest film, it's 8 minutes, and it's worth 8 minutes of your life to watch. He looks so much better. Just, you know, he's maturing physically. I see a kid that's become even more electric. He can change direction. He's just really impressive, and he's a really outstanding receiver. And that is becoming just more and more important. Other places more than Ohio State, I wish we would throw to the backs more. Just, use that safety valve like that, especially with a kid that's as good as this one in the open field. I just don't know. As much as I want Henderson, I just don't know if you can – I wouldn't say no to Edwards. I just wouldn't. I'd go ahead and just see if we could talk Henderson and two back system. You know, hey, dude, you're gonna play as much here as you would anywhere else. You're both gonna get 15 carries or more a game, and you know we are run first offense. No matter how prolific our passing attack is, we're gonna run the football, and try to get both of them. But there's just no way. Edwards is just too good a football player. To me, you know, you just it's going to be really interesting because they say Corey Kiner here in Ohio is always kind of leaned toward Michigan, and we're getting the Michigan back. That would be, you know, a pretty interesting thing. It hurts Michigan, them losing an in-state guy, more than it hurts us losing an in-state guy. For one, the Michigan back is better. And we're recruiting better nationally. So that's another plus as far as getting Edwards is concerned. But, you know, you just can't wait on Henderson. You really can't. As special as he is, Edwards pretty special too.
If they really thought they were going to get Travion Henderson, Edwards is the only back I would take. I wouldn't take any other back in this class and risk that. If you want to look at a silver lining between Edwards and Henderson, Edwards is a better receiver. He's a bigger guy. He has a much higher upside as a blocker, kind of an all-down back. I do think it's more realistic for them to sign Corey Kiner as the second back with Edwards in the mix rather than Henderson. I don't buy into a two-running back system with Edwards and Henderson. I don't think that's realistic. The two-back system, to me, when you're recruiting, falls in line with the guy who's going to come to college with his high school buddy and the package deal. It sounds great. It's just not going to happen. Another position of serious emphasis in this class, I think it's going to be like wide receiver in the last class, defensive line. As we already have commitments from Jack Sawyer and Mike Hall, I think you could make a very strong argument that they're the two best defensive linemen in the state. They're in the mix, though, for Tumisi Adeleye, JT Tumalau, Damian Robinson. If you had to take two of those three and say no to one of them, who would it be?
I would have to say Robinson. As much as I would hate to do that, he would be the one. I gotta put number three on that list of guys you just threw out there. Really good defensive line crop this year, both ends and tackles. Weak side end, not so much. Strong side end, very strong class. Tackle, strong class. It would have to be Robinson, and I would do so very reluctantly. I would look to try to shuffle things around, see if I could take him too.
Adeleye and Tumalau look to me like guys who will eventually be better inside.
It just depends. Really, Adeleye is already a kid that, build-wise, you may think about sliding him down. But he's so long, and, I mean, you want to talk about reach, and it's everything out there on the edge, so you don't want to give that up to move him down inside. I don't worry about it. I just take him, and wherever he ends up, he ends up. You know, maybe he'll go a Deshaun Cornell route and just flop back and forth. The positions can be somewhat interchangeable depending on down distance and what you're trying to do on a particular play. That's the thing you have to think about with a guy like that, the versatility that, you know, maybe he's going to grow to 285, 290, but you could still put him outside and at least on over a right tackle where he's going to have a quickness advantage and still win battles out there. I like having that kind of versatility out of a guy. You take him. He's automatic. You don't even think about it.
Tell you what's interesting, sometimes there's an out-of-sight, out-of-mind factor to recruiting with guys who commit really early on. But when you're thinking about this class, everyone has to remember that it starts with the third Bosa brother basically on the edge and Jack Sawyer. That's a great start. We'll be back in 1 minute to chat about one job on the offense that seems wide open.
CBS Wednesday. We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
We are back. We've talked a lot about open jobs. One of the spots we haven't talked about a lot, slot receiver. I think everyone understands that Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson will be the outside receivers, but the slot is wide open. KJ Hill basically rode that spot to the most receptions in team history. But if you go to fill it now, it's kind of challenging. CJ Saunders is waiting to find out if he'll get another year of eligibility. Bill Kerlick is all over that. He could be a candidate there. Jameson Juice Williams could be a candidate there. There's the Jalen Gill, DeMario McCall. We've always got to find a spot for these guys. Who do you believe will end up filling that spot? There's also some rookies who give it a chance.
I'm getting ready to eat breakfast, Dan, so I'm going with the juice. That kid, I mean, when he caught the ball last year and he turned and boom, it was like he was shot out of a cannon. I mean, I went, damn, as soon as I saw that. His ability to just explode. He's a little bit bigger kid than most of your slots, but he's still a slot receiver, which is a beautiful thing. But that, just that explosive nature. I'm going Juice Williams all the way with that one. I you know, we're going to have some guys. I think we could see these new kids coming in. It is the best crop of receivers I've ever seen at any school in the scholarship limit era. I'm telling you, it was a spectacular class of receivers overall, as good as I've ever seen. I would at least have to go back to when Julio Jones and what's
AJ Green
receiver? AJ Green came out that year was incredible too. We've seen some incredible receiver years, in fact, but last year, wow. And we got three of the top 10, and that's just amazing. So that's the one spot, even though all three are probably better suited to be outside guys, X receivers, they are still special, and they could, that slot opportunity could, it could be the one where we could see them getting on the field more. But of the veterans, I'm going with the Juice.
It's interesting, the one freshman you didn't mention, Mookie Cooper, was actually a slot receiver in high school but hasn't played football in a while, so I'd be a little surprised if he could get it done. I mentioned C.J. Saunders. What do you think about him coming back and playing in the slot and being kind of the veteran presence in the locker room? Of course, he missed all of last year with an injury, and he's waiting for the NCAA to decide if he gets another year of eligibility. What's your thought on that?
Well, the key word that you said there is veteran. A guy coming back who's been there, done that, it matters. You know, he would not have been a walk-on if he was that gifted an athlete. But what he does is he figures out a way to get open, and he catches the football. Who's that sound like? Sounds to me like K.J. Hill. Who just went down to the Senior Bowl and lit the place up and moved himself up in the draft. There is something to that, Dan. When you're talking about throwing a football, is get open and catch the football. Whether he does anything afterwards, if he just does that, you've got an effective receiver. So it's good to have him back. I think that the talent that's around him with these younger guys may push him down, but we want him. Yeah, we want to have him back. And, you know, who knows what he's going to do. But if he just does that, get open and catch the football, he's going to be an asset.
I completely agree. I really hope that 6-year gets granted. As much as the talent level for Ohio State's receiving corps right now is probably maybe at its highest it's ever been in terms of one room, it is very young. Austin Mack and KJ Hill and Ben Victor, off to the league, they've lost a lot of veteran experience in that room. Let's hope the NCAA does the right thing and let CJ have another year. We hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great Tuesday, Bucknutters.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!